I am a woman of my grandmother's and mother's clan, the Gurnai Kurnai people of Gippsland, Victoria. My father's country is the Yuin Nation of the South Coast of New South Wales. I was born in Maria Hospital in 1965, the middle child of three siblings. My brothers and I lived with my mother in Naruma, in my grandmother's home. When I was three, my mother died. My father then came back and took us to live with him and our stepmother in Ulladulla, where I grew up. My father was a fisherman, which kept him away for 6 months of the year. My stepmother stayed at home and looked after us. I attended primary school and high school in Ulladulla. When I was 14, we moved to Campbelltown, where I completed my second year at Ayres High School. Campbelltown was a real culture shock for me, being a teenager and having to make new friends all over again. Coming from saltwater to an urban environment where there was no family, I really felt landlocked and alone. School was a traumatic place for me on the best of days, not only because I changed schools and location, but because my father wasn't a great parent and wasn't a very nice man. So at school, I didn't say a word. I just shut up. I was one of those girls who faded into the background. I did as much as I could just to survive. I had made sure I did not draw attention to myself. My brothers were okay as they had their sports. I was not encouraged to pursue any sort of academic or educational life by my parents or teachers. I had an English teacher who just picked on me for no apparent reason. Every day he hounded me, and I wondered why I even bothered to attend school. I can understand why some kids would just give up and not go to school. I kept going because if I stayed home, it was worse. At high school, I was pretty good at art, music, and cooking. I still love cooking. I've always been fascinated with the way ingredients work together to create amazing food. I give credit to my stepmother, as we never had money, but she used to know how to make amazing meals out of nothing. She would have a couple of spices in the cupboard with some flour and make amazing dishes. We fished for our food. If we didn't fish, we would eat whatever food was in the cupboard. We would go fishing on the tide, cast our line. Sometimes we would catch fish, crabs, mussels, prawns, oysters, and other sea creatures. If we were lucky and the tide was low, we would get some abalone. I left high school at 16 and I could barely read or write. I couldn't string a sentence together. I just relied on my memory. It annoyed me that no one took the time to notice I've never actually learnt the basics of English. Once I was out of school, there was nothing for me to do, and I didn't want to stay home. My father advised me to go and have a baby and go on the pension, as he thought that was all I could achieve. He said to me, "No one will have you. You can't read, you can't write. So what more do you expect?" I just felt useless, and it would have been easy to give up. But I thought, no, I don't want to do that. So I went to TAFE to learn how to type because I knew that typing would open doors and I reached 80 words per minute. My first job out of TAFE was a receptionist for a government department. I was 17. I walked into the interview wearing a pinstripe shirt and my hair pulled back. It was very long right down to my back. And I sat down. The person behind the desk looked at me, didn't look at any of my documents that I had, and he said, "You look good, you've got the job." And that's how I started my career. At 19, I decided to attend English classes at TAFE. I knew I needed to understand the written word, how to construct sentences and grammar. It was also my first introduction to Thai, Indian and Chinese food, as I attended English classes with non-English speaking people. I can remember them bringing in all this wonderful food and saying, "Try this, try that." I loved it. I started to write and to read more, and I started to understand how I should say words and to construct sentences. During that time, I met my husband, Terry. We went out for about 6 or 7 months, and then I told him I needed to get out of my family home and that he was the person I was going to move in with. We've been together for 30 years. I had my son at 22 and my daughter 2 years later. After leaving my position with a government department after 6 years, I started working for Thorold Aboriginal Corporation as a receptionist and in other positions within the service. I moved on to the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council as a research assistant. While working at the Land Council, someone handed me a pamphlet about a community management course at Macquarie University. We wanted to buy a house, but working in administration at the minimum wage with no advancement, it was going to be impossible unless I gained further qualifications. I always recognised opportunities. Terry assisted me in completing the application and I gained a place as a mature age student. I studied part-time while I continued to work at the Land Council. Towards the end of my diploma, I became very sick as other issues were happening in my life. So I stayed home until my daughter started primary school before finishing my diploma. After returning to work, I began a Master's in Aboriginal Health at the University of Wollongong, as socioeconomic outcomes for marginalised communities have always interested me. When you look at Aboriginal communities, the prime issues have always come down to health, housing, education, employment and governance. I completed my Master's and a Bachelor of Community Management a number of years later. During this time, I worked as a clinic coordinator for Thorough Aboriginal Corporation, as a casual teacher at TAFE, as an Aboriginal Education Officer and Program Coordinator at an Area Health Service, and then for 5 years as a Project Officer for Aboriginal Housing. Then in 2007, I received a call about a position as an Indigenous Programs Officer at the UWS School of Medicine at Campbelltown. This was good timing, as I felt I needed to move from the Aboriginal housing. I saw it as an opportunity to support Aboriginal students, and I saw an opportunity to develop a program that would address the health needs of Aboriginal people and enable me to work in communities. There are so few Aboriginal doctors, and this position was created to encourage and support Aboriginal students to become doctors, but to educate and work with the wider medical student body about Aboriginal culture, heritage, politics, and health issues. There are a lot of myths around treating Aboriginal people, and there are a lot of people who are old school, who just treat everyone the same, regardless on who they are. I've worked over the years to break down these barriers. I feel that I'm helping UWS understand our Aboriginal culture and health issues, and by doing this, they are supporting our communities. I am able to work with Aboriginal communities across New South Wales, including 22 Aboriginal medical services, who support us in training our medical students to understand Aboriginal health and culture. This program would not have been achieved by just one person. I'd like to thank my co-worker Jenny Akers for her support of the Aboriginal communities and this program. My closing thoughts are, if we break down the barriers of ignorance and intolerance, we can start to understand each other and learn from each other. I think we should seek out that knowledge more. The bottom line is, we should never judge a person if we don't know their story.